Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio, 88.7 FM, broadcasting throughout the traditional territory of the Clathian Tene from the town site of Prince George, BC. This piece was assembled with the support and assistance of the Local Journalism Initiative Fund, managed by the CRFC and Heritage Canada. Every 10 to 15 years, an OCP, an official community plan, is created within and for municipalities across Canada. Here in Prince George, BC, our cycle is coming due, and the City of Prince George is asking residents to participate in the official community plan survey. This is one of a number of engagement points the city is encouraging. However, this one is big. If you have input on roads or sidewalks, this is it. If you want to raise your voice about housing in the community, this is it. Lack of public trebuchets. If you're concerned about the city's climate change resiliency or not, this is it. If you're concerned about bylaw or police spending, here it is. Due to the breadth of the survey, we had a few people chime in on the huge array of topics being covered. To begin guiding us through the process, though, is
Kaylee Hollihan, and I'm the supervisor of land use planning for the City of Prince George.
What is excluded from the scope of a plan this big?
It is meant to be broad and overarching, so it's not going to be as specific as some of our neighborhood plans, such as the Civic Core District Planning process that you would have seen happen for our downtown area.
So the official community plan would be just within our municipal boundaries, and so the regional district would have their own official community plans for their different regional areas as well.
Zooming out, a contributing factor into community-wide surveys is the accessibility of the survey itself. Who gets to participate? In relation to previous similar surveys, Kat Cadu with Undo, Uniting Northern Drug Users, Undoing Stigma, clarifies that importance. What are some ways where the city could bring this survey to people who might be unhoused or in temporary housing, who may not have access to internet or a computer to fill in the survey electronically?
That's why you need frontline workers on the ground and peers, people that know each other. I mean, we already have that connection. We already have that relationship that opens the door to being able to do these surveys in an honest, open way. And a lot of us, I mean, we're down here as frontline workers living through it and going through the vicarious trauma of everything they're going through. Because it's not a hard life, and we definitely need a lot of work done. And I feel like their focus has been backwards. Well, the whole Moccasin and flat thing, right? Like coming in and destroying things. And then we were really hoping that once that was all over and we put our recommendations, that moving forward we can do things differently in a more inclusive way, in a more engageful way. We weren't included in those conversations. We've never been able to sit in front of city council and say, like, hey, this is what we propose and what we've been up to. Like, I knew as we're working our butts off, trying to provide these services that are needed, like a 24/7 safe space for them to go in minus 30 to 50 degree weather, just immediate basic needs, washrooms, right? That they're not providing, they're not helping with. We're looking for funding everywhere, and then also having other organizations stepping up and seeing that, like, obviously, like, they're on the ground too. They know this is needed, and how can they support these initiatives? And we've really grown to build a lot of relationships with other organizations in the community so we can all chip in and work together so that people's needs are met. And that kind of work needs to be, maybe the city can't fit to those kind of meetings or hear from us on what they think is needed and help support this population also receive safe, clean community amenities.
Kaylee Hollihan describes methods of engagement.
So we do have the online survey that's going to be open until October 27th for residents to provide their input. There's also going to be town hall meetings hosted. They're called Your City, Your Priorities 2024, and they are geared towards the city's budget, but we are going to have planning staff available to help provide that additional public engagement opportunity on the OCP as well. And so that will be held on October 24th, 25th, and 26th.
What do you feel were some of the successes from the last time a plan like this was implemented?
Any kind of these process like this gives the public an opportunity for residents to be involved and engaged in important conversations about their community, to provide input into topics related to growth management, development, land use, housing, servicing, transportation, and so much more. So this is really a great opportunity to help plan our city's future and provide that feedback that will shape our citywide plan and policies.
A big topic, perhaps the big topic, that is on top of nearly everyone's mind is housing. Housing costs a lot of money. Along with the OCP survey, there is also an annual city budget survey. To touch on housing in regards to the city budget survey is...
My name is Chris Dalio. I'm the Director of Finance and IT Services for the City of Prince George.
So in terms of the money, the budget, what can or can't the city do for housing? Chris explains.
Well, so that's a bit of the struggle. So a lot of the time people don't know what services the city provides for them and also what services we are not responsible for. So housing, health, these are provincial responsibilities. So we do have a planning and development department, and certainly they help developers get done what they need to get done. And if they happen to be developing housing, that's great. There's usually grant offerings through the province to help us do some housing on their behalf. But ultimately, it's not a municipal tax initiative. It's just not a service that's ours.
So if we're looking at the municipal responsibility or municipal activity of city planning and relating to zoning, and maybe we have ambitions for like laneway housing or things like that, is there an area of the budget that could use some help to kind of enable more staffing and planning in that area, or whoever's applying for those grants to be able to pursue that type of thing within our community on the municipal level that we are capable of doing?
Certainly the area that we could have more, you know, expenses dedicated towards would be the planning department for that. My only issue with, I don't want to mislead your listeners, but again, with that not being something that the municipality can truly control, it really is a provincial responsibility for housing. We do our best, of course, because we know what our city's needs are. We participate in things like city has set up a few daycares around town with the help of provincial grant funding. But again, that's a provincial responsibility, not a municipal one. We do what we can to support the province's goals, but we don't get to take the lead, if that makes sense.
Although housing isn't inherently a municipal responsibility or priority, municipalities can be influenced to take initiative on things that aren't necessarily in their purview, like the daycares Chris cited. But housing is an option for priority on the OCP survey. What can the city do to improve housing or to influence housing? We turn back to Kaylee Holohan.
The official community plan is a great start. It can help to identify where the best locations are for housing and provide some opportunities for community values and interests, whether there is additional interest in affordable housing or accessible housing, and the OCP can help create objectives and policies towards those housing types so that when we get to more detailed plans like our zoning bylaw or community plans, then we can actually have regulations on the ground that would help to influence those housing types.
It's not every day that our local government is open to suggestion, but at the moment, at least for the purposes of the city budget and the official community plan survey, its ears are turned towards us, dear listener. But when the population wants something, how much noise does it really have to make? We turn back to Chris Dalio. Municipal governments aren't necessarily directly responsible for housing, right? That's not something that the municipal government directly funds. Grants can be applied for and be pursued. However, zoning for, say, residential areas is something that municipalities can explore. As a kind of standalone example, Medicine Hat in Alberta, you know, roughly a little more than a decade ago, started actually building housing. It was a bold move to take that direction and take that initiative. For a municipality to pursue that type of thing, what kind of impetus has to be started to look at making decisions like that are kind of outside the city's purview? Is it public pressure? Is it activity on council? Is it the mayor? Is it city staff or a combination of everything? What kind of leads to that sort of change?
Let's use the unhoused as an example. So it is absolutely, by framework, it is a provincial responsibility, but municipalities are the ones that sort of deal with the symptoms of the unhoused, right? So we spend money to try and help manage and work towards something better. Because the province, I'm sure, would be quite happy if municipalities spent more money and tried to take some of that burden from them. but that, you know, we also want lower taxes and we want better services for other things too. So there's usually only so much we can do. But I would suggest that it would be your council would be who you would talk to about that. And then our council has what we call an intergovernmental resolutions committee. And so their job is to look at examples like this, where we have to work with partners like the provincial government or the federal government and try and figure out how we can approach those types of solutions that maybe aren't being explored.
While the city budget survey may not have room for that type of expression, it would appear the operational community plan is an opportunity to explore some of those options. After all, it doesn't just mention infrastructure, it mentions climate change resilience, housing. It has to get a sense of your values. Another urban trend picking up some traction in our community is the development and improvement of dedicated bike lanes. But why might we even begin to care about that? Bringing us up to speed is...
My name is Rylan Graham, and don't know if you need my title, but assistant professor in the School of Planning and Sustainability here at UNBC.
Is there kind of any economic benefit to Prince George to implement this type of transportation?
Yeah, if we think that the municipality, the city is on the hook, or it's their responsibility to maintain infrastructure. Again, if we've created a city where everybody has to drive, that again creates a real significant wear and tear on our streets. And so then we have a city that is having to renew that infrastructure a lot more frequently, where again, cycling, walking, or shifting to transit, you know, reduces the wear and tear on our roads, right? And there is also benefit to private businesses as well. There's been some research that's come out that shows putting in a bike lane on a street actually has a positive economic impact on the businesses that are there. So for example, I just read a report yesterday that was from New York City, and whether it was last year or a couple of years ago, but they essentially took a sort of strategy to pedestrianize a bunch of streets. So closing off the streets to traffic and making them great spaces for people, which I presume cyclists could also enter into. And they saw that it was in the either hundreds of millions or billions in terms of the increased spending that occurred by pedestrianizing those streets. Because again, you're creating a space that is more welcoming to people. You know, cars aren't shopping at businesses, it's people. And so if you're creating spaces, places for people, you're going to attract them and they're going to go and they're going to spend more money at local businesses.
We turn back to Haley Holohan, Supervisor of Land Use Planning. If I have ideas about something, I don't know, more outside of perhaps the most popular opinion, whether it be a dirt bike ramp that shoots over City Hall and lands onto the top of Connaught Hill onto the other side, or maybe increasing municipal spending on more spots in the detox clinic. Is there room for me to express my opinion within the survey?
There definitely is room to express those types of opinions. We want to know what everyone in our community thinks and what each community member's vision is for Prince George. We're not making any decisions until we hear from the community, and the feedback that we do hear will help to shape the citywide plan and policies.
When we look at the broad sense of the operational community plan and the current line items within the annual budget survey, a participant may wonder how to align their desires for a future Prince George and how to influence that in the next budget. There is a difference between maintenance and investment. Chris explains.
If you were to give money to roads, for example, you would be improving the maintenance of existing assets, which might include bike lanes. If you're looking for new bike lanes, though, that's something different, because this is sort of an operating budget. So infrastructure investment, if you're looking for like new bike lanes or new sidewalks, that's where you would want to put your new requests. But as far as maintaining our existing sidewalks or our existing bike lanes, you would want it in
roads and sidewalks.
Roads. Yeah.
Like roads or sidewalks, bike lanes are a form of infrastructure. Perhaps you're interested in seeing investment in accessibility, universal design. If you're looking for more than just maintenance to these things, but actual changes or creation, an investment is required. Chris refers to transit as an example in the annual budget survey.
When we have transit in this survey, we only have one form of mass transit in Prince George, which is the bus service. So it wouldn't speak to, you know, building a SkyTrain or an underground subway system or anything like that. It would literally be interpreted as you want more bus service.
If we wanted radical change, say, in public transit, that would maybe be better represented if we were to increase community planning and economic development spending to kind of look at new solutions and new opportunities, that type of thing?
I would even say, because it would be a brand new service that we don't already offer, I think it's, again, more in that infrastructure investment category. Near the very end of the survey is infrastructure investment.
The operational community plan has more room for you to express your vision for the city's future and articulate some priorities, while the city budget survey allows you to begin to create room for those changes you want to see. Chris Dalio, Director of Finances and IT Services, summarizes.
The survey is basically a tool that we use to give council more information. And so while they're not bound by these results, it's definitely consultation with the public that they can consider when they're approving a budget. And so, yeah, maybe they want higher or lower taxes. And whenever I say higher or lower taxes, I also mean higher or lower service. There's usually this sort of perception out there that you can cut a budget without an impact to service, and that's just not a reality. You cut a budget, there's going to be less service offered. The reverse is true as well. So it's always a delicate balance. The public would love more service, but they also have a limit as to what they can afford. So that's the tough balance that council and administration really have to work towards, is what do the people want from us? What are the services they want us to provide, and to what level? And then here's what it costs, and is that acceptable to everybody?
If you think you know what you want the city to provide, this is a chance to get those thoughts captured and accounted for.
As we kind of continue through this process, more information will come out about some additional engagement opportunities, whether that be pop-up events, additional open houses, or updated surveys. Some more information can always be found on the city's website at www.princegeorge.ca/OCP.
Or
if you go to princegeorge.ca/get involved, there will be a link to the survey in that page, and then you can fill out that survey yourself. We also have a few consultation events in person coming up. There are October 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Hart Pioneer Center, College Heights Secondary School, and the Conference and Civic Center, respectively. So one location for each night from 5 to 7 p.m., and you can come and talk to us in person. It's also an opportunity to learn a bit more about the OCP, if that's what you're interested in. And there'll be a small presentation from administration at the start. But after that, we're here to listen to you, to the residents of the city. And please come down and talk to us and let us know what's on your mind.
Ian Gregg reporting for CIFR Radio, 88.7 FM, broadcasting throughout the traditional territory of the Tene from the town site of Prince George, BC. This piece was assembled with the support and assistance of the Local Journalism Initiative Fund, managed by the CRFC and Heritage Canada.